So you are experts in world literature. You probably read some of Dante Alighieri, where Dante goes from hell to purgatory, from purgatory up to heaven, starting off with Virgil, and then after he finishes going to hell and purgatory, ends up with Saint Bernard in heaven. He goes to different levels of hell. So there we have the picture of Dante visiting one of the different sections of hell. Thanks be to God that Dante didn't stay there. He was able to end up in heaven. Good place to end up. That's why we're here, right? Yep. Because we have already studied and learned some biblical passages on hell from the teaching of Jesus. In this lesson, we would like to learn about who goes to hell? Let's see who goes there. We're going to find out. And what is hell like? Let's see who goes there. What is hell like? What do you think hell is like? While on the positive note, what can we do to avoid hell? So who's there? What is it like? How can we avoid going to hell? We don't want to go there. And also to help others to avoid the true but cruel reality of hell. So we've up to this point we've studied the reality of death. Remember, death. One day we're going to die. What is death? The death is the separation of the soul from the body. We don't know when we're going to die. Could be in 60 years, it could be in 60 minutes, we don't know. I'm not saying that to scare you, but we really don't know the moment we're going to die. As soon as we die, then we're going to have our judgment. We're going to be going before the judgment seat of Jesus. We're going to see the film of our life. Then there's two possibilities. Either we go up or we go down. Either we're saved or we're damned. So that's what we've been studying the past 5 weeks. Okay, the true but all too real existence of hell. Does hell exist?
Yes.
Yes, we have learned from Jesus in many biblical passages. What I'd like you to do right next to that, I'm going to give you biblical references. And you have a Bible at home, we can maybe read one of them, at least one of them tonight. Write down Matthew 25. Write down also Luke 16. Write down John 15. And write down Matthew chapter 5. Okay, so Matthew 25, Matthew chapter 25, Luke 16, John 15, and Matthew chapter 5. Let's just take one of those. We learned this 2 weeks ago. Jesus said, I was hungry, you didn't give me to eat. I was thirsty, you didn't give me to drink. I was naked, you didn't clothe me. I was a foreigner, you didn't welcome me. I was sick in the prison, you didn't come to help me, to visit me. When, Lord, whenever we failed to do it to the least of my brothers, we failed to do it to Christ. So we're going to be judged on how we treat other people. So if we live out the commandment of service and love, then there's really no great fear of losing our souls. But if we're selfish or egotistic or narcissistic, we're only thinking about me, myself, and I, what I can get out of the situation, never willing to help anyone, we're living in a little shell of egotism. Yeah, there's a lot of fear. Yeah. Yes, that's right. Okay, yeah, almsgiving. Giving to others. Well, it could be the three T's, right? You know what those are? Time, treasures, and talents. Give your time, give your treasures, give your talents. In service to others, but we have to learn the importance of giving. As Mother Teresa says, there's more joy in giving than in receiving. She says, Mother Teresa says, give until it hurts. Give until it hurts. Okay, what is hell? Now, some people say hell is here on earth. Some of the existential philosophers like Sartre and Camus, and they say hell is here on earth. Theologically, it's not totally wrong, because if you're living in mortal sin, you're already preparing your way for hell. So the seed of eternity is in our souls. The good seed will take us to heaven, the bad will take us to hell. No, George, there's an author that says those who live in the state of mortal sin belong to the mystical body of Satan. It's pretty strong, isn't it? Huh? Those who are living in the state of grace are in the mystical body of Christ. We want to belong to the mystical body of Christ. We don't want to belong to the mystical body of Satan, do we? Of course not. Okay, so what is hell? It is, write this in there, it is, don't, you maybe cross out and, it is an eternal place of torment. It is an eternal place of torment in which souls suffer terrible and horrible torments for all eternity. Have you ever suffered? You ever suffered physically? What would be, you consider your greatest physical suffering? You have one?
Getting cramps.
Okay, cramps, really? That can be pretty painful at times. Okay. How about you, W? You ever suffer? No physical suffering? What would it be? I'll tell you one. You'll understand this, and I'm saying it to my own embarrassment. When I was your age, I was able to go to the best baseball camp in the world. It's called Williamsport in Pennsylvania. And all kids your age, if you like baseball, we all desire to go 2 weeks at Williamsport. This was 50 years ago, underneath the lights, when the lights were just coming on. AstroTurf, remember that? This was even before when the AstroTurf hit Houston. And so I went there, and it's the only time it happened to me in my life. I was playing second base. And there was a guy in first base, and the batter hit the ball to short. They're going to turn two. What it means to turn two? You get a double play. And for some reason, maybe because of lights, the AstroTurf, I wasn't paying attention, and the shortstop threw the ball to me, and it hit me right in the cheek. That hurt so much. Well, number one, it hurt a lot physically, but it was so embarrassing that instead of the ball going in my glove, it almost went into my mouth, no? That was painful physically, but even it was painful because of my pride. I wasn't paying attention. That's the only time that ever happened, because when I played, I was a pretty good fielder. As a senior, my average was about 960, which means that I made one error the whole season, no? But that was painful. In fact, that hit me in the cheek there. I think it actually left, you know, a dent within my cheek because of the ball, because of the lines in the ball, the seam. That was painful. Think about your biggest, your greatest physical suffering and multiply that or magnify that maybe 1,000 times. Wow. Imagine when you're dealing with cases of people that are sick. Georgia, do the people suffer quite a bit? With your wife too, with those diseases, yeah? He deals with a lot of sick people, and a lot of these sick people are getting old, their health is declining, and it's tough. You guys are young, you probably have suffered less, but if you suffer today, you always you have the hope that you're going to get up tomorrow, you're not going to suffer. Right? There's always the hope that the suffering is over. But you go to hell, it's going to be forever. It's going to be forever and ever and ever. We want to try to avoid that. Okay, next. What are some of these torments? There are many, and they go far beyond our imagination. So write that in. They go far beyond our imagination. You see at the very bottom of the page, the little square with the head of a devil, skull with wings. You know where that's from? That's from Dante. So in Dante, Divine Comedy, you see at the very entrance of hell, it says, abandon all hope, you who enter here. So your hope is gone. There's no more hope. He wrote the Divine Comedy. It's a literary masterpiece that was written in the 15th century in Italy, which you have an epic of him going from hell to purgatory, from purgatory to heaven. And he explains the different sufferings of hell. Okay, so we will give a list of some and the most important. Number four, then, would be that of fire. So write that in there, fire. Oh, it's already written there? Fire. So fire that will torture the soul forever. Imagine being burnt, and magnify this 1,000 times. You have a small idea. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Maybe you've gotten burnt on the stove. And maybe hot water has been poured on your hand. Or maybe you're helping your mother prepare a taco or a tortilla and the grease falls on your hand. All that's just a pale image of really what the fire is going to be like. That just maybe touch your finger. Imagine your whole being consumed by fire. But the difference is this, is if you throw a leaf into the fire is consumed. But those who are in hell, they're burning forever, but they're not consumed. It's hard to understand, because if you throw this in the fire, it's going to, in just a matter of a couple of minutes, you're going to burn and it turns into ashes. Whereas your soul is going to be burning in fire forever, and there's no relief. So if we've arrived at a certain point right now that we don't really have a lot of love for God, at least this fear of the Lord can get us into purgatory. And then we're going to get to heaven. So maybe you don't love God yet. I hope you do. But if you have fear of the Lord, that should help us to avoid mortal sin. So we die in the state of grace. We might have to go to purgatory, maybe for 500 years. Even if we go to purgatory until the end of time, we're going to get out. The purgatory is temporary, whereas hell is eternal. Okay. So that's, let's move on to number five would be, know what that is? See, despair. The Italian poet Dante depicts the entrance of hell with these words upon the entrance. Whoever so enters here shall abandon all hope. Abandon all hope. according to this this teaching on divine mercy, which is in the Diary of Saint Faustina, you know what Jesus said to Saint Faustina? That the worst sin is giving in to despair. Giving in to despair means I've committed this really bad sin. I really don't believe that God can forgive me. There at the Last Supper, two of the apostles made a huge blunder. One gave in to despair, the other one returned to God. Can you name those two people? Did you see, any of you see that movie by Mel Gibson, The Passion of the Christ? Any of you seen that? Do you remember one of them, he gave in to despair, and he ran out, and then the devil went after him, and then he was surrounded by these little kids that were actually the devils, and they started to make fun of him, and they had to bite him and throw dirt at him. Then he ran out, and outside the city there was a hill. And at the bottom of the hill was this this carcass of this donkey that was being eaten by maggots and worms. Then he ran to the top of the hill, and he put a rope around his neck. And then he jumped, and he hanged himself. You can see him swaying in the wind. Remember that?
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Now you remember it? Do any of you know who that person was?
Julius.
What was his last name? Good. Iscariot. Could he have been forgiven?
Yes.
No. Yes. He just had to tell God he was sorry. Did Peter deny our Lord three times?
Yes.
Did he hang himself?
No.
Did he ask for forgiveness?
Yes.
How many times?
Three.
So he failed him three times, so he asked for forgiveness three times. So they both failed the Lord. But one gave in to despair, the other one turned back and trusted. Do you know how Peter died? No, that was Bartholomew.
The one that was hanged up backwards from the cross?
Yeah, okay, he was crucified upside down. Okay? So that was Peter. He's crucified upside down. According to tradition, he was fleeing from Nero, who was a very, very vicious emperor. And he was fleeing, and Jesus met him on the way. And he said, Domino quo vadis, Lord, where are you going? And our Lord said, I'm going back to Rome to be crucified a second time. And Peter understood it was his turn. So he went back to Rome, where the Pope is now, St. Peter's, and he was crucified upside down. Probably pretty quick when you're, it's interesting because our Lord, it took him 3 hours to die, whereas the brother of Peter, his name was Andrew, he was on the cross for about 3 days. But there's a big difference because Jesus was nailed to the cross. Back then, some of them would be roped to the cross. So they were hanging from ropes. It would take much longer time to die because you're not losing your blood. You're using your mind. Someone is roped on the cross. Ricky, how would he die then? Yes, partially, but no, okay. Think it through. You're hanging on the cross with ropes. No blood loss. You got to think it through. Anyone over here?
Yeah, I
got you. Roberto? No?
You die of suffocation.
Are you going to say it? No, wasn't that he? Did you hear his word?
No. Oh,
you
yeah.
Say it a little bit louder?
You suffocate.
Okay, so asphyxiation, what happens is, you imagine you're in the cross, every time you breathe, you have to push yourself up. Try to imagine doing that for an hour, 2 hours, 24 hours, 48 hours. What's going to happen? Your body's basically going to sink. And your pulmonary cavity that brings air in and then it comes out, right at a certain point, is basically caving in. You can't get the air in, you can't get the air out, and basically you die of suffocation. So that's, you're right, that's the way he would have died. Jesus died of three causes: exhaustion, blood loss, and suffocation too. Yeah. How would you like to die? I think it's a good question. How'd you like to die? Old age? Okay, old age. That's okay, good. I've thought about this a lot. How would you like to die?
Age.
Roberto? Old age, yeah. Would any of you like to die as a martyr? Did we mention the word a martyr, martyrial? Never heard the word martyr? Martyrdom? David, what's martyrdom mean?
It's like when you die for your faith.
Would any of you like to die that way?
No.
Technically, I don't know about you, George, I'd like to die that way. I don't feel that I'm worthy of it. Because if you die as a martyr, you go right to heaven. You don't have to go to purgatory at all. And it's a sign that you really love God so much, you're willing to suffer, even shed your blood for Christ. You guys said old age, which is okay. And but I think technically, if you really know your faith, a lot of the saints that don't even die as martyrs want to die as a martyr. St. Francis wanted to die as a martyr. De Montfort, a lot of them want to die as a martyr. Yeah, yes.
So it's like you're sacrificing yourself?
Yes. Very well said, yes.
Would you still go to heaven if you made sins before that?
Great question. Usually those who arrive at martyrdom, they're really living very holy lives. You know, usually they're living really good lives before they die in that way. You know? But it could happen that, you know, you're not living a really good life, and before you die as a martyr, you turn to Jesus and say, "Lord, I've committed a lot of sins. I'm really sorry, but I'm ready now to die as a martyr for you if you give me the grace." I mean, it could happen that way. Usually it's not. Usually you get these saints, they're living really good lives, and then God says, "Now you're ready. Are you willing to be shot, or are you able to be..." Colby was shot with carbolic acid or some, you know. I think you ought to study the whole idea of the cristeros. Most of you are from Mexico. From Michoacán, or Zacatecas, or Guadalajara. There was many that died. Did any of you see the movie, For the Greater Glory?
No.
David, did you see it? What did you think? Pretty good, right? It's back in 1929, 1930, when the government in Mexico was very anti-Catholic, and as a priest, you couldn't dress as a priest, and they tried to close all the churches. So there was a rebellion among the cristeros, especially starting in Guadalajara, and these people said, "We're not going to obey the government." And do you remember that scene, Dave, when they showed the railroad tracks, and they saw all these people hanged on the railroad tracks for about 3 miles down? So they were actually hanged. And who was the youngest one that died from where you're from, Michoacán? We have a statue of him outside. You never heard of Jose Luis Sánchez del Río? Did you hear of him? Did you like it? Pretty good, right? What hit me most is, do you remember what they did to his feet?
They cut
the bottom of his feet, and that's still I believe.
So what happened was his padrino betrayed him. And his padrino was a really good Catholic. He decided he was going to give himself to the federal government. And then Jose Luis, he was in the church of Santiago Apostle in Sahuayo, and his godfather brought in these, how do you say, gallina de pelea? The chickens? That were brought in from Canada, some of the best ones, and he wrung their necks because it was a profanation of the church. So his godfather comes in, sees all these dead chickens that he was training to do this fight, and he got so angry at him And he hung him from the roof with his thumbs. And they started to beat him. And you saw the movie, they tried to get him to renounce Christ the King. And they took the knife and they started to, remember? Started to cut his feet. And he said, Dammi forza, dammi forza, dammi forza, dammi forza. Give me strength. And he cried out. And then they cut his feet. Then they made him walk to the cemetery on salt. Imagine walking on salt. And on the way he's walking there, they got these machetes and they're knifing him. They're slashing him with these machetes. And they say, hey, maldice Cristo Rey. Maldice Cristo Rey. And he said, que vive Cristo Rey. Maldice la Virgen Guadalupe. Que vive la Virgen Guadalupe. So he arrives there at the cemetery and they say, hey, give up your faith and we'll save you. And he says, que vive Cristo Rey. And they took a gun and they shot him in the temple. And then as the blood is coming out of his temple, the last gesture he did there in the movie was he took his, what?
Sign of the cross.
He made the sign of the cross with his own blood and then he died. And he went right to heaven. It's a great movie, right?
Yeah.
He was about your age. I think it was maybe, was he 16? Okay, 15, so he's about your age, maybe a year, a couple years older than you, but wow, talk about strength, huh? Would you like to die like him? I mean, it's kind of scary, isn't it? But you admire a guy like this. He's only, if you read through his diary, he just had a really deep relationship with God. And he wrote a letter to his parents saying that he was going to die as a martyr. He knew it. He said to Mom and Dad, we'll see you in heaven one day. And the movie shows his parents there at the moment of his martyrdom. Remember? They were standing right next to the tomb. If you die that way, hey, don't worry about hell. You're going to heaven. Right? You're going right to heaven. But you got to prepare yourself for that glorious way to depart from this world. Okay, ready? So number five we said was, whoever so enters here shall what? Abandon all hope. So write that in there, abandon all hope. That's number five. Okay, all in hell will hate everybody else in hell, as well as themselves. All in hell will hate everybody else in hell, as well as themselves. Kind of scary, isn't it? No? We all, you know, maybe have people who don't like us, but we always have a couple of good friends, huh? Try to imagine being in a prison cell. And you're bound with ropes, and you're surrounded by 30 gang members. They've got knives, and they got guns, and they got whips, they got sticks. And those 30 gang members, they're going after you, the 30 of them, no? And you're handcuffed, no? Wow. Kind of scary, huh? Well, hell is going to be kind of like that, but even worse, because the devil's... You think that the cholos are bad, and the devils are much worse than the cholos, no?
That yeah. Can't happen because all that stuff you said is not allowed in prison.
Yeah.
That's a no-brainer.
Yeah. It's true. It's fiction. I'm just saying try to use the imagination of how bad that would really be. Or it could be, say, for example, you go to Iraq, and you're an American soldier there, and the Iraqis, they capture you, they could do that to you, right? And there's no, they can do whatever they want, no? They really hate us. So you have to utilize your imagination to really think, what is hatred like? And hell is going to be a million times worse. And you might be able to make friends even with your worst enemy, but the devils, they're always going to hate you, as well as the damned souls. No? In other words, we don't want to go to hell, do we? No.
No.
Okay, next would be number 7, right? Write this in there. Satan, Lucifer, and the demons. Satan, Lucifer, and the demons. The damned souls will be in company with Lucifer, Satan, and all the devils as companions for all eternity. What happens if Satan is able to tie you to a pole and there are 10 other devils that have sharp swords and they're maybe slicing you like a piece of salami, right? Yeah, almost like you're a human salami and they're slicing you. I've often thought about that because what would have to happen is your body would have to come back together.
Yeah, but then if it's just your soul, how long could
it? Yeah, that's a good point because if those who are in hell right now, they're only there with their soul. But at the end of the world, there's going to be the general judgment. Jesus is going to bring all the people who ever lived together, the billions of people. And those who go into hell, they'll have their bodies. So all those in hell now, they're just there with their soul, the spiritual part. As well as those in heaven. They're there only with their soul. So how they're tormented is going to be different once their body's united with them. As well as those souls who go to heaven, it's going to be much better when you have your body and your soul together. But I think it's a worthy exercise to try to think about this at least 2 times a year. You might even, in the quiet of your room tonight, try to spend 10, 15 minutes. Imagine that you're actually in hell.
That's creepy.
The exercises, right? Imagine that you're in hell. When I give the spiritual exercises program to people, I tell them they have to spend a whole hour trying to imagine that you're in hell. You know what that does is that if they're living in sin, that gets them out of sin. Then they want to go to confession. They're usually looking for a priest. They want to go to confession. They don't want to end up there. So it's really reverse psychology. That's really what it is. By doing that, that's going to help us to make decisions to get out of that state so that we don't end up separated from God for all eternity. So it's kind of reverse psychology. By meditating upon that, we're going to avoid it. Okay. Okay, number eight is no change. There will be no change or possibility to leave this condition. On earth, when we suffer in any way, we hope for healing and relief. In hell, it goes from bad to worse. So maybe you can understand this. You got a toothache or a stomach ache. You got a really bad cold. Stick with the toothache. Okay, your mother takes you to the doctor and the doctor looks at you and you have to have a tooth extraction. They give you some Novocaine. And then they pull the tooth out. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and you're kind of suffering. They give you this really strong medicine, not simply an aspirin, but something even stronger than aspirin, so that after you're taking that medicine for about a day, the intense pain you experience basically disappears. But try to imagine you have to live with an acute toothache the rest of your life. Just scary to think about that, huh? Or maybe get a stomach ache where you feel like vomiting. You want to throw up. Okay, then, you know, you have it overcome, and the following day you really feel good, and you're able to have a pretty good meal. But you got that stomach ache that's never going to get better. You have to really try to imagine these sufferings. And this is gonna push us away from sin. This might be the last time you ever hear a talk on hell, because it's not a very common topic, no? You know, people don't like to listen to it, you know. But it's real. I really hope that you'll really be convinced at the end of this class that hell exists, that we could lose our souls. We're going to end by saying how we can avoid hell. But we have to recognize that hell is a reality. And that we could end up there if we die in mortal sin. That's the worst enemy, to die in mortal sin. Okay, number 9 is the worst suffering. What do you think it is? The worst suffering in hell is the loss of God. The worst of all sufferings in hell is the loss of God for all eternity. We were created to love God, and we rejected God's love. For all eternity, we will suffer God's wrath and anger and His judgment, and all our own fault. So those who suffer in hell, their greatest suffering is not the fire, nor the devils, nor the demons, nor the lack of change. The greatest suffering is that they rejected God. That's the greatest suffering. Because we're created for God. We're created for God, and we're created to be with God for all eternity. Okay, next. Why do souls end up in hell? Why do souls end up in the eternal damnation of hell? Number 1 is that of freedom. All of us are given this very precious gift from God. Write it in there. It's our free will. Free will. It's free will. We're not robots, are we? We've got free will. What is free will? God allows us to, write this in there, to choose between good and bad. We can choose a sin by our free will. Number 3, die in mortal sin. What does it mean to die in mortal sin? It means to die without grace and without God's friendship. To die without grace and to die without God's friendship. Number 4, mortal sin and hell. Why does somebody go to hell? They go to hell because they die in mortal sin. It's as simple as that. In a later class, we'll explain in greater detail what are the components of what we call mortal sin. Number 5, condemnation to hell. Then who and why does somebody go to hell? Anybody who dies in the state of mortal sin, totally unrepentant of that sin, has merited the eternal separation from God and the eternal punishment for all eternity. It is never God's fault, write it in, but ours. It is never God's fault, but ours. God wants us to go to heaven more than we want to go there, but if we purposely choose to reject Him, and God respects our free will, He respects our freedom. Okay, next. What can we do? Okay, now we're gonna mark it. What are the things we can do to avoid hell? We talked about how can we avoid it, and we're gonna try to avoid hell using all the means possible.
All of them.
Well, let's go through them. Letter A. Avoid mortal sin at all costs. And ask God to keep you away from mortal sin. Ask that in your prayer. Lord, keep me away from mortal sin. As spiritual poison. What poison is to the body, mortal sin is to the soul. Okay? You don't want to be drinking poison, do you? No? You drink poison, your body's going to die. And mortal sin is poison to your soul. Next would be, letter B, confession as often and frequent as possible. Face is not always easy to go to confession, but you go to confession, you feel better, okay? You're forgiven. You experience God's peace. You experience joy, happiness. And confession can serve as either, we've talked about this before, as preventive medicine or curative medicine, okay? Those who work in the medical profession will always say it's good to have a checkup now and then, right? And it's good preventive medicine. So confession, frequent confession, is good preventive medicine. You're fortifying yourself. You know, I mentioned once a couple years ago, I was about to get a cold, and this person told me about this, it's called Airborne. You ever hear of Airborne? It's not marijuana. Okay, Airborne. It's it's basically vitamin C. And you take that, and if you're about to get you're about to get sick, it can sometimes prevent you. Say, I took a couple of those, and I didn't get sick. So that was good preventive medicine. Or if you like another analogy, it would be the flu shot. Did you get a flu shot?
No.
No? You get a flu shot, I mean, it's pretty good. You take those flu shots and they, not that they work 100%, but they're a pretty good preventive for getting some sickness that we all get sooner or later. So we should take our spiritual flu shot, our spiritual airborne, okay? And that's called confession. Next, fervent and frequent prayer. This gives us grace to avoid sin. Let me ask you this. How was your prayer life from 0 to 10? What would you say?
Yeah. One.
One? Okay. How about you? How was your prayer life from 0 to 10? Three? How about you?
What do you mean?
So 0 is nothing. 10 is perfect.
I'll say that's a 9.
9? Huh? Pretty good, huh? How about yours? You doing pretty well?
It depends. I go to
church every day. Church every day? You say your rosary?
Uh-huh. Yes, I do.
Yeah, pretty good. Oh, you already got 7. You get a holy hour in?
The holy hour is...
Okay, well, you'll stop at 7. Okay. We should all try to really, really improve in our prayer life. Do you pray every day? Okay, well, you got to work at that. Okay, you pray sometimes?
Yeah.
Good. Umberto, you ever pray? A little bit? Yeah, okay, well, we're all, I think, kind of weak in our prayer. You have to work on that, right? That could be a New Year's proposal. Good. Okay, next is avoid the near occasion of sin. What does that mean? You know what that means, David? Avoid the near occasion of sin? You ever hear the expression, he who plays with fire will get burnt? In other words, if there's a person, place, or thing that can lead you into sin, you want to keep away from that. Okay? Person, place, or thing. Okay, next. Love of Mary and the daily recitation of the Holy Rosary. You do that, that's going to help you to avoid sin. Number 7, duration of hell. How long does hell last? Response is forever. It is eternal forever and ever and ever and ever. I think that's one of the most stark and scary things about hell is that you're never going to get out, right? You know, Father Larry made an interesting comment the other day. He said this, that when there was a guy that was possessed by those devils, remember that guy Legion, he was possessed by many devils, he told Jesus to send the devils into the pigs. Remember that? And the pigs ran over the bluff and they were drowned in the sea. Father Larry's comment was that the devils didn't want to go back to hell. It's not a very good place to be, even though that's where you end up eventually, no? They prefer to be in the bodies of these pigs in the ocean than to be in hell. Good point, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, number 8. Did Our Lady of Fatima reveal hell?
Yes.
Okay, in her apparition to Saint...
Jacinta.
And Saint...
Francisco.
And?
Lucia.
Lucia. You have the answers. Someone gave him the answers. George, you gave him the answer sheet. I thought so. You got the answer sheet. No, we just had a brilliant catechetical student here. He just had the answer sheet. Okay. That's why you get... That's where you get straight A's at school. You got the answer sheet, huh? Number 9. What were the principal reasons for most people going to hell? According to Our Lady of Fatima, most souls go to hell due to the sins of the flesh. Sins of the flesh. That is to say, the sins against the virtue of purity. Write that in there. Sins of the flesh, the sins against the virtue of purity. Okay, number 10. Saint Faustina. Did Jesus reveal to Saint Faustina the sufferings of those condemned to hell?
No.
Yes. Okay, yes. Okay, in... Write this in there. In the Diary of Mercy in My Soul, write that in there. Diary of Mercy in My Soul, number 714, is good read for our topic on hell. So, having talked about hell, we're going to say a closing Hail Mary that all of us will avoid hell. Yes?
What are the
what? Okay, the names of the children that sought hell, two are already canonized. Two was a brother and sister, and the other one is their cousin. And the oldest was Lucia de los Santos. They were Portuguese kids. There was her cousin, Jacinta, and her other cousin, Francisco. You know, when they died when they were only about 10 years old. Except Lucia, it's interesting you asked the question, is Lucia the oldest one? Do you know what happened, Ricky, 14 years ago today? Lucia died. She was about 100 years old. So exactly 100 years ago today, George, Lucia de los Santos died. She died February 13, 2005, and John Paul II, they're going to die April 2nd. So she lived to be about 98 years old. The others, they died when they were about 10. She went on to become a Carmelite nun and lived in a Carmelite convent for many, many years and died. She probably can become a saint one day also. So let's say a Hail Mary, then we'll do the roll call, and then we'll see at Mass on Sunday, if not earlier. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. and bless the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now. Glory be to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Our Lady Fatima, pray for us. Okay, good. We'll see you in Mass then. Is there a roll call?